Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. There's a story out of Russia, out of Syria, that's not gotten much attention. It sort of combines fanatical Islam with godless Russia. And a high-ranking Russian Navy source reported July 21st that the Soviet-era naval maintenance base near Tartus in Syria is to be expanded and modernized to become fully operational. Now, it's been some years since we've talked to Avi Lipkin, also known as Victor Mordecai. Avi Lipkin, welcome to Bob Inyart Live.
Great to be on your show.
Thank you, Avi. Hey, Avi, can you help fill in me and my audience regarding this Soviet-era naval base in Syria that the Russians, it looks like they plan to expand and modernize it?
Well, firstly, you have to remember that after Russia recognized the nascent state of Israel in 1948, and then the first prime minister of Israel, David Ben-Gurion, decided not to go with the Soviet bloc. You see, Stalin thought Israel would join the Soviet bloc. Mm-hmm. When Israel did not join the Soviet bloc, then the Russians were so angry that they shifted all their support over to the Arab side. Of course, in 1972, the Egyptians under Anwar Sadat booted the Russians out. But the Russians have been committed for a long time to being the enemy of Israel, and they have been firmly in support of countries like Syria and Iran. Of course, they were also in support of Saddam Hussein. That's gone. And now as we approach the showdown between the world and the Shiite Iranian regime, as well as their proxies in Syria and Lebanon, I think the Russians are kind of like gambling on a loser. But the Syrians definitely want the Russian Navy there. And so the Russians are looking at their dwindling reserve of bases.
Now, Avi Lipkin, in your fashion, like you always do, you try to put these news stories and headlines in historical context. Could we go back just a moment? You mentioned Saddam Hussein, and there are many people in this country, a liberal and conservative, that especially conservatives who have turned against our effort in Iraq and deposing Saddam Hussein. And let's address that for a moment, because Saddam Hussein was openly funding, supporting terrorist acts, suicide bombings, and therefore a government that supports terrorism is a terrorist government. And he was also slaughtering his own people en masse. And so these reasons alone are overwhelming justification for Saddam Hussein's government to be forcibly removed. Could you address that for a moment?
How many hours do we have?
He, even if you look at, Avi, if you look at liberal sources on Saddam Hussein's mass murder, he filled mass graves. He slaughtered many tens of thousands of his own people. And so a genocidal a ruler of a government gives the world a justification for using force to invade his country and take down his government. And so that, of course, here at Bob Inyart Live, we supported those efforts and still do, and try to make it clear to people, even if you hate George W. Bush, you should love the Iraqi people more than you hate Bush, and you should be thankful that we removed a tyrant mass murderer like Saddam Hussein.
Absolutely. Let me tell you something. This terrible evil dictator who was removed thanks to the blood of 4,000 American soldiers, and of course the American people are still paying taxes to pay for that war.
Right.
And if, with your permission, I will take a few minutes. When I said hours, I was only joking.
No,
about
I understand.
Hours,
that's fine, Avi. Yeah, go ahead.
I have a few minutes, if I may. I have been preaching in churches for 20 years. I've been driving around the country, literally, and I was in Oklahoma City when the bomb went off in Oklahoma City. I don't know if you've covered this. It's in my books. The Oklahoma City bombing, Terry Nichols and Timothy McVeigh were working with Ramzi Youssef, who was a Saddam Hussein agent. They had Iraqi Army Republican Guards in Oklahoma City cheering when the bomb went off.
Avi, can I ask you this? When Timothy McVeigh was arrested, and by the way, I sat in for parts of his trial here. It was in the federal courthouse in Denver. And when he was arrested, didn't he have phone numbers on him that went to the Middle East, to some of these connections you're talking about?
Absolutely. And Terry Nichols, the story about Terry Nichols, he trained in the Philippines for 2 years with Ramzi Youssef. We have to not forget, Ramzi Youssef, who was a Saddam Hussein agent, and this was proven by Dr. Laurie Milroy from the Department of Justice in Washington. This Ramzi Youssef made the bomb in New York City in the first attack on the World Trade Center. He escaped, made it to the Philippines. He was also the guy behind Operation Bojinka to blow up 12 American airliners in the Philippines. This guy trained Terry Nichols. So there's absolutely no doubt that Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols were working with Saddam Hussein on this bombing. The bombing in New York City in 93 was Saddam Hussein. Shooting down of TW-800 in the summer of, in July of 1996 was Saddam Hussein also. Saddam Hussein made a speech the day before the shooting down of this TWA-800 airliner, and he said, tomorrow is Iraq's Independence Day, and we're going to give the world a big surprise. I mean, I got all of this from Dr. Laurie Milroy in the Department of Justice in Washington. There was a big cover-up here during the Clinton administration, and probably the cover-up was so terrible, because Clinton actually committed treason. And, you know, presidents in office don't attack previous presidents and vice versa, so George W. Bush had to continue the cover-up. But the point is that there was a very long-running scores to settle with Saddam Hussein, and that's one of the reasons for the invasion. But like you said very correctly before, Saddam Hussein massacred the Kurds, massacred the Shiites, massacred the Sunnis, massacred his own family. The guy was a maniac, a mass murderer. And, today the Iraqis, in spite of...
Hey, Avi, when his sons were killed, my wife Cheryl felt like we should go out and celebrate because she had followed how filthy and wicked they would use sexual assaults as a political weapon against their father's enemies. I mean, this was a murderous regime that had an iron grip on the people of Iraq.
You know what? Today, Iraq has, as it had before, it has three primary provinces. The northern provinces, which are the Kurdish, you know, these Kurds are fantastic people. They're Muslims, but they're allies of the Jews and the Christians. They're allies of Israel. They're allies of the United States. The Kurds are begging. They're begging the U.S. never to leave because the Kurds know the moment the Americans leave, they get massacred by the Sunnis again. The Shiites, who were slaughtered, hundreds of thousands of them, by Saddam Hussein, they have a life today. And they might not say that they appreciate the United States, but the fact is that they have control of their own oil,
right?
Something that Saddam Hussein would not allow them.
Right.
And even the Sunnis have a life today. They got rid of this crazy madman. So thanks to the American soldiers, you know, thanks to the American people, especially the soldiers who gave their lives, the Iraqi people have a life today that they never had before. And one more point, I know that there are those people, especially Democrats, who attack George W. Bush because of they said the war was about oil. And in part, there is truth to that, but let me give a spin on this. It takes 5 years to completely rebuild the oil infrastructure of Iraq after Saddam Hussein completely destroyed it. I mean, the Iraqi oil infrastructure basically was dripping oil, and the sons of Saddam Hussein were making all the money. But the infrastructure was destroyed by Saddam Hussein over 35 years of misrule and misconduct. When the Americans went in 2003, former Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld was saying that the Iraqi oil would pay for everything, and the Democrats had a heyday with that, and they were attacking him and attacking him, and finally he quit. It takes 5 years to rebuild the infrastructure
right.
in any country. So it was only in 2008 that the Iraqis started to show a surplus. They were taking out more oil than any time in Saddam Hussein's administration. Today, Iraq is a very critical player alongside Canada in increasing the amounts of oil that the world economy needs to heal itself from the collapse of a year ago. And by the way, the collapse of the world economy a year ago is not because of George W. Bush. The collapse of the world economy is because of OPEC raising prices of oil to $147 a barrel because they decreased their supplies to the world and the demand was spiking.
Well,
it went from $30 to $147 in 2 years. That's crazy.
All right, now that's a bit tangential and it gets us into economic theory and all. So, but let's continue. So so Saddam Hussein, the people who said it was all about oil, you said there's something to that, and there is something to that. Obviously, trade and a standard of living. Liberals mock someone if you mention a standard of living. The opposite of a standard of living is dying. That's the opposite of a good standard of living. And Saddam Hussein was a genocidal terrorist head of state. And so what we did was good for the Iraqi people, and it was good for the world, and it was good for America. And, of course, you'd want stable trading partners. Of course, that's an additional valid motivation.
By the way, if you'll forgive me, I will now say something which will shake many of the people listening to your show.
All right.
I believe that Obama has three reasons that he will lead the attack against Iran. I mean, George W. Bush would have been impeached, but Obama will be the messiah for doing it. Reason number one, of course, which is the least of the reasons, is the oil, is the nuclear threat to Israel. That doesn't bother anybody. The second reason is because the Iranians, like Saddam Hussein, they are so insane that they have allowed their oil infrastructure to completely collapse. Iran is not taking out, Iran sits on one third of the world's gas and oil reserves. And the Iranian oil economy is completely dilapidated and in shambles. It'll take 5 years after you remove the Ayatollahs until the new infrastructure is in place and the oil is flowing. You cannot heal the world economy until you have enough oil to satisfy the demand of the world. And every time that Wall Street goes up a little bit, the Arabs raise the price back up to $70, $75, Wall Street goes down again. Because people cannot pay that amount of money. So you have to increase the supply factor. The demand goes up, there has to be an increase in the supply. So it is, I think, written on the wall that the Iranian regime must be removed. They will never, under the present regime, they will never improve their oil production.
All right, so
and actually, Ahmadinejad wrote his doctoral thesis on how he's going to destroy the Christian world economy by raising the price of oil to $147 a barrel. But the real reason for the war with Iran is because the Saudis are commanding President Obama, who, if he is not a Muslim, I believe he is a Muslim, but if he says he's a Christian, but he comes from a long line of Muslims. His father's family were all Muslims.
Well,
his brothers are Muslims in the tribe in Kenya.
Right. Hey, Avi, of course he does come from a long line of Muslims, and he wrote his book not about his American mother, but the dreams of my father, who's a Kenyan Muslim. But he has attended for years a nominally Christian church, and he baptized his kids as Christians. And you got to be pretty far undercover as a Muslim to do that. That's a bit too conspiratorial for me. So I would say he couldn't care less about God, Allah, or Jesus Christ, or the God of Abraham. He's into power and socialism and abortion and homosexuality. But go ahead. You said the three reasons that you think Obama will lead us in a military effort against Iran. And I think you have guts for saying that that may happen, and I think there's wisdom to it. One, the nuclear threat to Israel. He doesn't really care about that. The world doesn't really care about that. Two, Iranians are allowing their oil structure to collapse. And three, repeat that third reason again.
Okay. I'm not repeating it because I haven't said it yet. But the thing is this. the family of Obama, even if he's not a Muslim, his father, his brothers, they are Sunnis. He was raised until age 11 in Indonesia as a Sunni by a stepfather who was a Sunni. The Pope of the Sunnis is the King of Saudi Arabia, if you will. And if the Pope...
we just lost Avi, so let's call him back. Let's call him right back. And we'll try to get that elusive third reason. But it sounds like Avi Lipkin, by the way, also known as Victor Mordecai, long time. He was with the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces. He was a translator for the Israeli government way back when in Yitzhak Shamir's office of the prime minister back like in the 80s. And he's been a significant player in basically Israeli-U.S. relations. And it's been a long, long time since we had Victor Mordecai or Avi Lipkin on this show. And so we're trying to get the elusive third reason why Barack Obama may lead us in a military effort against Iran. But Avi Lipkin, let's continue.
Yeah, before I get cut off by Big Brother again.
Yeah.
Very simply, it's like this. There has been a war going on for 1,400 years, between the Shiites and the Sunnis. I mean, this makes the Catholic Protestant Wars of Reformation look like a Sunday school picnic. This is a war over who's going to rule the world. Will it be the Shiite Muslims or the Sunni Muslims? And the Shiites are winning. The Shiites control the Persian Gulf. The Shiates are overtaking, through the Hezbollah, they're overtaking Lebanon. Syria is 74% Sunni, but the leadership is Iranian-backed Shiites. They are infiltrating into Egypt.
Now,
they're infiltrating
Saddam,
into Gaza.
Avi, Saddam was Sunni. He was part of a minority Sunni population in Iraq, but now the majority Shia in Iraq have tremendous political clout.
Yes, and so indeed what you're facing is the Persian Gulf. You have countries like Kuwait that are 50-50 Shiite-Sunni, Saudi Arabia 50-50 Shiite-Sunni, Bahrain is 60% Shiite, but the control is in the hands of the Sunnis. And the Shiites are trying to wrest control from the Sunni leadership. Now, by the way, there are three reasons that the Shiites of Iran want to behead the Sunnis of Saudi Arabia. By the way, the threat to the Saudis is not from the Jews and not from the Christians. The threat to the Saudis is from the Shiites. Mm. And the reason is because they say it like this, three reasons. Reason number one, the Sunni princes, the Saudis, they go off to drinking, gambling, and prostitution in Europe, the U.S., and even in Egypt. And then they come back and pretend to be holy, and they are the guardians of Mecca and Medina. The second reason is the 2 million slaves that live in Saudi Arabia, Hindus and Christians from the Philippines, Hindus from India, Christians from the Philippines. This is contaminating and defiling the holy Islamic land. So the Shiites of Iran say, we will behead the 2 million pagans and infidels, and we will behead the 5,000 Sunni princes. And the third reason, the Sunni princes are guilty of propping up the international world economy. And the way for Allah to win, the way for Islam to win, is to deny the world the oil. Even if they have to live in the desert with camels and eat dates and pita bread, that's okay, as long as they bring the world economy crashing down. That's why I keep coming back to this philosophy of supply and demand of oil. You see, the Sunni leadership is guilty of treason. They are guilty of heresy by working with the Christian West to supply oil to Europe, to China, Japan, and India. The idea here behind Iran is to bring the world economy crashing down. These people are completely insane. And so the Saudis are, who of course, number one, threatened by the Shiites, are going to use Obama and the U.S. troops to overthrow the Iranian regime. And I predict this is going to happen within a month or two.
That soon. That's an extraordinary prediction. I wouldn't think that, but you're more informed in regarding day-to-day operations of what's happening in Iran and U.S.-Israeli relations. Avi Lipkin, the media in Denver, when they report on Islam, they say that Islam is a religion of tolerance. And, you know, maybe Joanne Ostro, the Denver Post radio and TV reporter, is listening right now. Let me ask you, she would view you as biased, of course, but let me ask you, how many synagogues are in Mecca, in Saudi Arabia, in the capital city of Islam worldwide? How many synagogues are in Mecca, Avi?
The same as churches.
The same as church. How many churches are in the entire country of Saudi Arabia?
Zero.
Zero. How is this a religion of tolerance? Islam, where they have control, they gradually squeeze out freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and it ultimately becomes ruthless, especially against women.
By the way, I have to tell you, the Nazis had an ideology which was that there would be no more Jews left in Germany, but they failed. Even at the height of the Holocaust, there were still Jews in Germany. The Saudis have succeeded in keeping Saudi Arabia Judenrein. There are no Jews at all in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. They're not even allowed in.
Yeah, this
and
is
Christians, when, if they are there and they die, their bodies have to be shipped away. They don't want the contamination of Christian bodies there or Hindu bodies in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia.
It's filthy.
But indeed, you do not see any Jews living in Saudi Arabia or even visiting, setting foot on their soil. Mm. There are no synagogues. There are no churches. The deal with the U.S. government was that the Muslims would build one mosque on Massachusetts Avenue in Washington, D.C., and then the Christians would build one church in Saudi Arabia. So, of course, you got thousands of mosques in the U.S., and no mosques at all in Saudi Arabia.
Mm.
And no churches in Saudi Arabia or synagogues.
When we went into Kuwait, we restored Kuwait's sovereignty. I recall from the news reports at the time, the Kuwaiti government told the media that no Jewish reporter from Fox News, from CNN, from any news outlet, no Jewish reporter is allowed within our country. And so there is this racial hatred that's despicable that our media in America, our professors at our universities, they give a pass to Islam and Arab hatred of the Jews, and they tend to side with the Muslim hatred of the Jews. What is that famous quote that if the Arabs laid down their arms, there would be no violence? If the Jews laid down their arms, there would be no Israel.
There would be no Jews.
There'd be no Jews.
You know what? Let me share something which is central to the Islamic faith. By the way, if there are any Muslims listening, I don't know if you're taking calls, or if you ever speak to Muslims about this, you can ask them, and they will say, sure, what Avi says is correct. There is a teaching in Islam. It's not in the Quran. It's in the Hadith. Hadith is a series of teachings that are very holy for Muslims, but they're not inside. They're not in the canonized Quran. It says, on the Day of Judgment, there will be a final battle with the Jews, and the Muslims will annihilate every last Jew on the face of the earth. And there are some Jews who will temporarily evade their pursuers. They will hide behind rocks and trees. And on that day, Allah will give mouths to the rocks and trees, and they will call out, oh, Muslim pursuers, there was a Jew here hiding behind me. Come and kill him. Until every last Jew is dead. Now, I have to tell you something. My wife is Egyptian-born. She's Jewish. Arabic is her mother tongue. She's an intelligence gatherer for the Israeli radio services. She was also a TV announcer in Arabic for 12 years. Very sexy, beautiful, superstar model-type woman. And, you know, we've been filling up our car with gas 35 years in the same gas station in Jerusalem where the gas station attendants are Arabs. And they said to her once, they treat her very well. They fill up our car with gas, they change the oil, they wash the car.
Yeah.
And finally they said to Rachel, you know, you're from Egypt, you're culturally, you're really one of us, but we have a problem with you. You're a Jew. And you know, Allah is going to give mouths to the rocks and trees, and they're going to call on us to come and kill you. And we don't want to kill you, we really do love you, you know that, but we will kill you if you don't become a Muslim.
Right.
So please become a Muslim before we kill you.
Hmm.
And that's one teaching from the Hadith. Well, no Muslim can deny this.
Avi Lipkin, could you help psychoanalyze the American media and the American left? Why are they so willing to side with Islam when this is all so obvious? Supposedly, the left are university professors, Hollywood stars. Supposedly, they care about free speech, women's rights, and so on. And yet they will brag about Islam being a religion of peace and tolerance. What's with that?
Well, I think primarily, I'll take a little liberty here, left-wing people, by and large, not all of them, but by and large, left-wing people are atheists, they're secular, they're socialists, they're anti-God, they don't believe in God.
They have a hatred.
Now, if you don't believe in God.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you don't believe in God, then you don't understand that there's a devil out there.
Right.
That the God of Islam is the devil.
Right. Well, the God of Islam is the devil, and also they have an intuitive hatred for anything related to revelation from God. Abraham, the sons of Abraham, the Mosaic Law, the Hebrew Scriptures, the Judeo-Christian Scriptures, they have a hatred for all of that. And so as we see that Israel is back in the land of their fathers, as we talk about America being founded by some men who held to Christian principles and Jesus Christ as the Messiah, liberals have such a hatred for the Judeo-Christian worldview that they'll side with any enemy of the Judeo-Christian world, even if it's an enemy that wants them silenced and even slaughtered.
If I may tell you, you know, there is this teaching which even atheists and New Agers and all these crazy people should listen to. It's also from the Hadith. It says in the Hadith that Jesus Christ is coming back a second time, but as an Arabic-speaking Muslim warrior. He will be dressed in black on a black horse. He will have a lance in his hands, and he will run the lance through the Antichrist, who is a Jew. After he kills the Antichrist, who is a Jew, near the where the airport is today, the city of Lod in Israel, he will go up to Jerusalem, and Jesus Christ the Muslim will then pray on the Temple Mount with 400,000 Muslim believers. Then Jesus Christ the Muslim will come down from the Temple Mount. He will break the crosses, destroy the churches of the Christians, the synagogues of the Jews, and on that day of judgment, all the Jews and Christians, who in the eyes of Islam are one people, the Jews and the Christians are one people, not two.
Right.
We are the people of the book. The Jews and Christians who have not converted to Islam will have their throats personally slit by Jesus Christ, the Muslim.
Right.
So they do believe in Jesus Christ, but he's a Muslim.
Exactly. Avi Lipkin, thank you so much for joining us here on Bob and Your Live and warning the public about fanatical Islam. We really appreciate your work. May God bless.
If I can get out the website?
Yeah, please do. I got it right here.
Okay, firstly, I appear like 1,000 times. Google search Avi Lipkin and all that's free, and my website has a lot of free stuff too. Vic Mord, VicMord.com.
VicMord.com. And Avi, thank you for joining us again. It's been a long time. It's been years. God bless you.
Blessings.
All right. Appreciate Avi Lipkin coming back on the show. And our telethon is beginning in September, and we have an ambitious goal to raise $40,000 to keep Bob and Yurt Live on the internet for another year at KGov, KGOV.com. There's, of course, overhead, staff, extraordinary expenses that we need to meet to be able to continue to do what we're doing. So please help us with that. Get ready for that. And Maranatha, what a great school.